Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Art of Living Well Radio Network. Radio to inspire enlightened living. You're listening now to The Art of Living Well with Charlotte and Lindsay. And now, your hosts, Charlotte McGinnis and Lindsay Babish.
Well, good morning, everyone. This is Lindsay Babish. I'm here with co-host Charlotte McGinnis, and happy Valentine's Day to everyone. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for listening, and good morning, Charlotte.
Hey, good morning. Happy Valentine's Day to you and everyone out there. It's a beautiful day.
It is. I heart you.
Yes, that's right. There you go. I love you. So it's 10 a.m. our time, but our guest today on Gail Rose, she hopes she remembers to crawl out of bed. She's on California time, so it's bright and early for her today.
That's right. I sent her an email a few minutes ago, so we will see, but I'm sure she'll be on. She's an extremely responsible being on this planet,
Yes. And
we love responsible beings. And speaking of responsible, it's just, since this shift happened on 12/21, and we were talking about this last night a little bit. We had a Healing Touch Buddies board meeting, and one of our board members, Colleen Haney, is very hooked into the Shift Network and the Barbara Hubbard, Marks Hubbard material.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly there is a prediction, if you will, and we can talk about this when On Gail comes on, that this Friday, tomorrow actually, that would be, there's supposed to be some major shaking of the planet in some way, and we don't know what that is, but some major shakeup, and then things will continue fairly steady, but not steady. In other words, like there's going to be some turmoil on the planet until August, according to this particular school of thought. So it'll be very interesting when our guest comes on to hear about that general kind of information that affects us all, that planetary and universal and information. And of course, Charlotte, have you read the articles coming out recently about the scientists now think that the entire universe is just one brain and like I'm just a neuron in a brain?
Well, it is really. I mean, with all one big brain, or one consciousness. So it's very cool. I'm loving how science is validating and expressing, what we've been teaching and learning for years and years. It seems like so much of what was taboo just 10 years ago, 20 years ago, is now mainstream. So, people are waking up for sure.
Yes, and not only that, in the medical sciences, too, the wake-up is coming pretty fast and strong in terms of the two studies that came out yesterday. One that says chemo spreads cancer in the body, duh. And and the other one that came out that said that a study that was done with people with kidney cancer, older people with kidney cancer, if they opt to just what they call observe or monitor and not have surgery, they have 50% less chance of dying in the 5 years than the people who have the surgery. So your chance of dying is 50% greater if you actually have the surgery, and less than 3% of all the people actually died of kidney cancer. So many of them died, but of something else, but the ones with the surgery obviously had more complications. So it's so interesting. And, sometimes doing nothing, and this is, I think this is with all things in life, isn't it, Char? I mean, that sometimes doing nothing is your best course of action, and just praying and meditating and,
It goes back to, first of all, we're not a body. We're a divine mind. And if we identify with the body, then the body's going to respond to that. If we identify with the divine mind, everything will come from that. And You know, I do find, you know, I always go back to Deepak Chopra's book from years ago. It's at least 20 years old, maybe 25, Perfect Health. And, you know, he makes two good points, or many good points, but two of which, number one, every few years, the body, every cell in our body totally restores itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then second point is, you know, in a meditative, quiet, peaceful state, if we were fully present, then a disease does not progress from that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the message is, you know, release the past and be still, the power of now, truly. And then also, why is it, if our body's renewing itself, that we continue to be sick? Well, it's because we haven't healed that part of our mind. So, you know, it's awesome to think of what's possible and potential. We just have to be willing to step out of the old paradigm.
That's right. But, you know, the interesting thing, too, is I was doing some research on prenatal vitamins last night, and one of the things that I discovered is even these so-called very healthy ones that are kosher and, you know, all this other stuff have everything supposedly needed in it, were filled with titanium dioxide. And then some more research to find out why that was, and it's coloring. It's used to color the vitamins so they look pretty. And I'm thinking to myself, this is totally insane. When vitamin manufacturers feel as if they have to make their vitamins that are supposed to be keeping mothers and fetuses healthy, that they'll only sell them if they're pretty, and they'll put a toxic ingredient in to do that. And I was apoplectic. I mean, that's probably why I couldn't sleep. I was like, oh my God, you know, how could this be? How could a company make that decision? You know, it's because for me that's an unconscionable decision. It's immoral, and it should be illegal, of course. But you know, that's another story altogether. But Shar, do you want to give Angela a call?
That's exactly what I was going to say. I'm going to let you continue, and I'll be right back.
Okay. So we're going to find out if our beautiful guest today, Angela Rose O'Grady, is sleeping in San Diego, California. So Shar's going to go wake her up, and I will continue talking about this whole idea of, you know, of putting ingredients into our household products and our vitamins and our food and putting stuff in there that is absolutely not supportive and is actually destructive for our bodies. And I don't care what your Course in Miracles training is, and if you think that you can, you know, shift everything, that nothing's important, I just got to say that let's not put this stuff into our bodies. And so, you know, my lovely daughter-in-law also sent me last night a Facebook posting that was from the Chabad Rebbe talking, and this was over 45 years ago. He was talking about genetically modified food and also toxins in you know, in our products. 45 years ago, he was talking about this, and I was surprised to see that, and yet, you know, what I responded on Facebook, of course, was that of course he was spiritually and scientifically precious, you know, or not precious, what's the word? I'm prescient, you know, in other words, like having this foreknowledge of just, and it's, you know, if you really are spiritual, if you're one of these people who are living in your soul and not just in your body, then you know these things. You have an innate knowledge, I believe, of that connection to the universe, where this information is not only not a surprise to you, it's just something that you know. You can seek out more information and learn and grow and find out what products indeed don't have those things. So whether it be Young Living essential oils, or whether it be Shaklee, or whether, you know, all of the products that are available to you that don't have toxins in them, they're all there. So if you just go back to the source, go back to the soul, go back to that source point for yourself, and reach it, and quiet yourself so that your mind's not going yak 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 monkey mind, then you can know this. You know what's good for you. You know, as you're putting that Hershey's chocolate in your mouth, it like, no. Now, that doesn't mean you can't ever have a Hershey's chocolate, but obviously that should not be your main diet. And, you know, once in a while if you indulge, it's Valentine's Day, folks. You know, it's not going to kill you. And you can bless everything that you put in your mouth. My friend Kay Parker always used to do that. I mean, I'm talking going back 30 years before it was popular. We would sit down at a meal, and she would put her hands over the plate, and she would kind of just give the blessing to the food in such a way that the food be literally transmuted into something that was divine and perfect for her body, that it was true nutrition. So even when we were in a restaurant that we were doubtful that the ingredients were everything we wanted to have, that the food was still then going to be nutritious and healthy for the body. And, you know, and you can do some of that, but this still is a personal responsibility for going and, you know, actually finding the good stuff. So I'm making those choices. So Charlotte's back, and
well,
so what's the story?
You know what? Guess what? I got her finally. I had to call a couple of different numbers, and she was asleep.
Oh, gee whiz.
So,
okay.
Know, that's the problem with having our morning show when you want your West Coast guests
yeah.
on here.
Well, Charlotte, we now have a track record of waking up some very important people.
Yeah.
So we woke up. CEO one day.
Yeah, CEO Howard Martin. Yeah.
We've woken up the best of them. So there's a good metaphor for the art of living well, right? We woke up the best of them. So while Angel is brushing her teeth, why don't you go ahead and
we'd give her a couple of minutes. Now she didn't have to like jump out of bed and on the phone. So, but you know it's. Yeah, well, we might as well talk a little bit about her, and then we won't have to spend that time when she gets on here.
That's
and,
what I was just about to say. Let's tell our listeners about her.
Yeah, well, you know, about a little more than a year ago, a couple of years ago now, it's hard to believe how fast time is, Angel and her husband, Ahanu, who's actually in Ireland. Unfortunately, he won't be with us today. His son is getting married this weekend, and he's officiating, which is very awesome.
Oh, wow.
He's a new ordained ADL minister, as well as Angel. Well, you know, they moved to this area of the country here in the North Carolina mountains and really plugged in to our group, and she had these wonderful Akashic group readings and just really deeply spiritually connected people and wonderful people. And so in their journey, she met other good friends who actually we had on the show a couple of weeks ago, Pam and Brian Crissy. And they are actually book publishers, and they really resonated with everything that she was saying through her Akashic readings. So as a result, they have published her book, A Time for Change. And A Time of Change, excuse me, and it's Akashic Guidance for Spiritual Transformation. It really is a beautifully written, simple to understand, and a real comforting book, and very positive. And so it basically asks and answers many questions for our time, such as, where is the God source in all this? Is there a God source? Does it have a hand in the orchestration of these changes? What about Armageddon or paradise? Are cataclysmic earth changes a necessary part of these times? And lots more questions. She speaks of indigos, and it's amazing. She's actually writing another book as we speak. So at the age of 19, she really became a seeker and dedicated herself to finding answers to the deep spiritual questions, journeying into the mysteries of the spirit world, while exploring consciousness and its expansive potential. So she's meditated for years, been taught by Archangel Raphael, who took her on many journeys into other worlds and planes of existence. She went on to study the works of Krishnamurti and the Course in Miracles. So she's certainly a gifted spiritual healer, teacher, and, of course, a channel of the Akashic Records. And besides that, you can go to her website, which is angelrose.com, which is A-I-N-G-E-A-L rose.com, ungailrose.com. And there's, you can see how gifted and talented she is, because there's so much available information there. I mean, everything from her Akashic, you can actually book an Akashic reading with her over the phone. You can order her book, and you can also see some of the classes that she's offering. And the neat thing is that she and her husband, Ahanu, are also hosts on our network, the Art of Living Well Radio Network, and they have a Sunday morning show called the Honest to God series. So you can also click onto that icon on their website and learn more about that. And they have wonderful guests as well. So she is definitely out there, but I also think that we are going to have a great interview today. And she was just interviewed last week by infamous George Norrie on Coast to Coast Radio, which I'd like to congratulate her on as well. I know that's been a dream, and she manifested that one. So awesome. And I see she's here, so let's welcome her to the show.
All right, and I'm opening the microphone. So good morning, Aunt Gail.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can.
How
morning,
are you, Lindsay?
Hi, Star.
Hi, Lindsay.
Fine. I should have emailed you last night and said, set your alarm clock.
Yeah. I did set it. It did go off, but anyway, I apologize for that. I don't know.
We must have been
in a really good dream.
Well, we were waiting for you. We were commenting that we've woken up the best of them, so there you are. You're in a very exclusive club here, so don't feel bad. I mean,
well, thanks.
Great. Well, you know, I listened to your interview on the Coast to Coast George Norrie show the other day, and it was really wonderful. You were great in that interview, and we know you're going to be great in this one, but it's so interesting because one of the things that that I would like to have heard more about is more specifics on the book, A Time of Change. So that's number one. But I loved the question that he asked, like, this Akashic Records, is this like a big book in the sky? You know?
Yeah.
So I guess that's kind of a standard question. So for people who didn't hear that interview, is it a big book in the sky? What is the Akashic Records?
Well, really the book. Well, it is called the Book of Life to a lot of people, but actually it's a library. It is like a library, and a lot of people see it as a library. But it really is the recording of all of creation. It's not just about our own lives, you know, our own soul journey through time, but it really records every little minutest detail of creation. But a lot of people they'll experience their own records as a big book. You know, certainly that happened to me early on when I was first in my records. I would be going up stairways and I'd be seeing just vast books everywhere, and one belonged to me. And so everybody's life is recorded, all the events, all the lifetimes, even if you walk by an ant on the street, everything's in there.
So past, present, and future?
Well, the future, I'm hesitating on that because, to me, on one level you can say yes, and on the other you can say not exactly, because you do have free will in there, which does determine, you know, your future and what really happens in it. But certainly I've seen probable futures in people, absolutely. And when I was taught to read the records, the people who taught me said that you cannot predict the future. So, but I do see future probabilities in there, and they're really things to be discussed rather than absolutes.
So they're like choice points. They're like, okay, we're going to take you up to this crossroads, and, you know, so it was a Casey Stengel who said when there's a fork in the road, take it. You know?
Yeah.
So they're kind of life choice points. Are those, is that what we could look at that as?
Yes, they are. They are life choice points. In fact, we were talking about this last night in a group we had. We were asking about destiny, if destiny was true or not. And what we got was that there are opportune moments set up in each person's life. to make certain choices or to be given certain challenges. And so in that way, there are destinies set up, but how those destinies turn out is has a lot to do with the person. But then on the other hand, you know, if you go to the big picture of creation, you could say that everything's already happened. So it's kind of a confusing way to think, really, but, you know, on the one level of God, I'm sure all of creation's already happened and every choice has already been made. But then on the level of our personal journey, that wouldn't be true. You understand?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Angel, that actually then would lead into something else you offer, and that's the quantum jumping based on exactly that, that it's all already here, that there is no past or future. And that's been a powerful thing you offer as well.
Yeah, we have so much fun with quantum jumping because it's very, very powerful. And I'll give you a little example, a little story of myself with that is we just did a quantum jumping class here a couple of weeks ago. And it was before the George Norrie show, and I was a bit nervous. So I wanted to jump to a self that had already done the interview successfully. So instead of going to that, what happened was I dropped into this vat of milk, and I knew it was a cheese vat, you know? I knew it was big, and suddenly I see myself as this Eastern Indian woman, and my hair's all disheveled, and my, you know, I'm old and everything else. And I realized that I'm in the caste system, and I'm in, like, the lower caste. You know, not the bottom, but something close to the bottom. And in that caste, I wasn't allowed to participate in certain higher things. I wasn't allowed certain spiritual knowledge. Certainly the financial aspect of myself was very poor. It was just like I was in a box and somebody defined who I was and told me that I couldn't go beyond it. And it explained so much in my life because I come to these thresholds where I don't understand why, but I can't go beyond it. All of a sudden, all that cleared and the floodgates opened because as I was watching it, it started to dissolve. The energy of it started to dissolve. And, of course, after that, I did the show, and I'm still answering emails.
Congratulations. I know that's been a dream of yours, and you know, you've said as long as I've known you, that's your number one dream and goal to be on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. So that's an awesome manifestation right there.
Isn't that silly? Like, I didn't think to put down Oprah or anything.
Well, there's still time.
There's still time,
you know, and you, who knows when Oprah's producers are sitting there today combing through George Norrie for interesting guests, and they'll go, wow, what about this one? We like that name. I'm Gail Rose O'Grady. So, you know, just create that scenario. It's not the end of the road here, so.
Yes, I know.
You know, I wanted to ask, about this Barbara Marx Hubbard prediction that tomorrow is supposed to be some kind of shaking on the planet. Has that come up in any? Because I know you do these wonderful groups. Maybe tell our listeners what happens in these groups, and then if something comes up for you on that question specifically, because I know this is a little bit of what your book is about—a time of change. It's about this whole transformation period that we're in, and how basically there's guidance for that. So that's a big question. I just gave you. All right, we'll just turn it over to you. Go.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the groups are opportunities for people to come and ask, you know, higher questions in the Akashic Records. They're not for their personal questions. Those are private readings. But we let people come and they'll just ask questions on whatever they wish. But I haven't asked about tomorrow. We have asked about Earth changes. And, you know, what we're told is that they're going to continue, and we cannot expect that to let up anytime soon, okay? And the reason is precisely because we are in a transition and we're in a cleansing. And because of that, you know, the Earth is still trying to adjust herself to this new energy and this light that has come through, and it has come through last summer. It was actually quite huge what I saw. So in terms of tomorrow, I hadn't specifically asked about tomorrow, and I'm not really a big one on predicting the Earth changes, precisely because, you know, we can manifest them as soon as you tell somebody something.
Right.
They start getting energy in that direction. So I have seen things, but I don't really publicize them. In fact, you know, when I wrote that book, there were lots of groups where people were wanting to know, and we did see specific things, and many things happened. But since then, I decided that wasn't what I was going to do. You know,
okay.
That I didn't want to energize it. So certainly people have been calling me, telling me that they feel something coming, and they feel something big, and they'll go in and out of either feeling really anxious and a sense of gloom or sorrow. They'll report that. And so I guess my own feeling about it, Sharon Lindsay, is that anything could happen anytime and nothing would surprise me.
Sure.
Is the way it's
right.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, so Angel, what is the big Akashic message you'd like to send to everybody? Because it really is a collective message. I know you do your individual readings, which you expressed was difficult to do, and you're not going to be able to do the individual private readings on this interview because you have to go into each record, and that's a process. But so collectively, what's our message of hope? And there's so many great things in your book. What would you like to express to the group today?
Yeah, I think what I have been shown by Source is that we're headed for a really beautiful change on this earth. And I mentioned December 21st, which is, of course, after the book was published, or last December. And I did see a huge doorway opening in the sky, and I saw really these incredible blessings being shed down, not only on the earth, but throughout all of creation, really. And since then, as well as I can tell you that there are people that say they feel a sense of sorrow, there's just as many that will wake up in half certain days where they go, gosh, it feels so sacred today, or so extra holy, or the energy's changed into a really, I have to use the word holy because that's how it feels. So I need to tell people that we still have work to do, that yes, this future is guaranteed by Source, but we all have to work at it, and we have to work at continually cleansing ourselves and focusing only on the new world, which is beautiful and peaceful and loving. But what Source has said to us is this is its intention. It's laid the foundation. Evil is on its way out, but we do have to support that and cooperate that within ourselves, within our own thoughts and our own feelings and the way we are with each other. And certainly the non-judgment plays a huge role in this. I think someone asked a question last night, too, about the Middle East, if there was ever going to be peace. And what Source came back and said is, yes, there would be, because if you put the different races together in the Middle East, they would have no problem with each other. It's the politics that are going on that are really causing all the dissension. And so what it was trying to say was that humanity is changing, and that it's becoming less interested in war and less interested in conflict. And that is what is going to cause this change. It's going to be the collective people, you know, not the governments or the corporations or any of that. It's going to be the people. So I'm very positive. And in fact, you know, George had asked me that question, and I said, I'm very positive. And he had to ask me it a couple times because I know from his perspective there's a lot going on negatively. But I would tell people to focus only on positive things. And just to add to that, Shar, I would also encourage people to have some emergency things in their homes, because we are in earth change times and it's just a fact. So to me, sources always said it's just practical, you know, to have some things in your home in case your lights go out or your heat goes off. Okay.
Right.
But certainly I think we really are in a beautiful passage. And I think that's the intention, that we're going to end up with an earth that is much more loving and much more cooperative. So that's my main message that I get from Source throughout everything.
Well, that's wonderful. You know, today is V-Day, which means that there are going to be a billion women around the planet dancing in the streets and celebrating Valentine's Day, and it's called A Billion Women Rising. And it's it's just a major movement. I'm going to be down in Delray Beach dancing in the rain, obviously, because it's raining here, but that's fine. We can dance through the raindrops. And, you know, there are women all over the world who are really kind of taking to the streets in a loving way, not in any sense of violence or contest, but, you know, just to spread this thing of, number one, enough is enough. Let's all just treat each other with great respect and love, and let's celebrate, you know, womanhood and manhood. Let's come together. We're not separate.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Yep. But I think, it's a practice, isn't it?
Yes, it is a practice. So what is your practice? What brings you to this work? Now, I know you had a life experience at 19 years old that was most people would call it traumatic, and then it led to something. So it led to an opening of a whole new life for you eventually. But what is your daily practice that supports someone reading, like yourself, reading the Akashic Records?
Well, that's a good question, Lindsay, because right now I'm so busy that all it is readings.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, well, I'm a meditator.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a meditator since I've been 30 years old. And I go in and I take time to invite my I Am presence to come more into my body and my life. And I consciously surrender what I think I need, what I think I know. Okay, but alongside that, I do a bit of manifesting. You know, I do make lists. I'm a firm believer in journaling. I think journaling can, you know, in just 10 minutes can take you from, you know, a really horrible state to a piece of enlightenment if you take the time to do it. Because I'm a firm believer in knowing yourself. And that's been a lot of my path, and it still is a lot of my path, that if I believe that we all create our realities and that like attracts like, then the only way to really know what your mind is doing is to take the time to ask it, to write out stuff. So I think if I said anything, it's the meditating and the journaling have been my two biggest things that I've done through my life. Of course, early on, I did other things. You know, I did rebirthing, and I did a lot of clearing, and I studied the Course for many years, and, of course, that's an ongoing practice.
Mm-hmm.
But I check my ego. I check my motivations. When I'm upset about something, I will go write about it to see what's really underneath it, and mm-hmm. I'll always find it. It's just a simple question. You could just start with any emotion you have or any situation you're in, and all you do is you put it down on a piece of paper and you ask it what it means to you. Because I do believe that even the Course says that, you know, everything in your life holds all the meaning that it has to you, you know. And if you don't explore what meaning you're giving things, you don't really know what the belief is underneath. And so if you don't know the belief underneath, you're not at choice. You don't really know what to choose.
Mm-hmm.
So I do practice the non-judgment thing consciously every day. You know, I watch my mind and I watch what it's doing.
Oh,
but those are my daily things, yes.
Yeah, I do that in traffic. I watch my mind starting to go to, well, you up. Bless the child. Oh, yes. Oh, bless you. I surround you in light and love and angels. Yes, so you do have to watch your mind because old patterns don't go away so fast, do they? It's amazing. We really have to train ourselves. So,
I'll go ahead.
No, you go.
Well, I know I wanted to bring up these wonderful crop circle essences that you got involved in with Pam and Brian.
I know.
You know, it's wonderful what you were able to tap into. You want to talk a little bit about those?
Yeah, that was quite an accident because, you know, I'm not somebody who really follows those. The crop circles, although I've looked at them in the past and thought they were gorgeous, but never really gave them any thought, you know? So they had all these mother tinctures of the crop circles that a friend of theirs had goes to England, and when there's a new circle, she gets pure water, and she sits in the center, and she invites the frequencies of the circle into the bottle. So she creates these mother tinctures. And so when I met Pam and Brian, they take me downstairs and they open up their fridge and show me all of these mother tinctures, which they had no idea what to do with. So he asked me, would I go into the Akashic Records and decode these circles? So I said, sure, we'll give it a try. And so we did that. He would show me an image on the screen of a circle, and sure enough, the circle would not only tell me its name, what it was used for, how much it was to be charged for it. Some said, don't use me until after 2012. Others said, don't use me at all. There were a couple that weren't so nice, so we just ditched those entirely. But anyway, they created these whole essences made out of those interpretations, and so now they sell the bottles to people who are attracted to them. And it's an experiment in progress, to be honest, although the feedback has been pretty powerful of people who have bought them and used them. And I have a set of them here, of every one that we've created. And you ask people to go over and just run their hands over the whole selection, and inevitably they'll all pick out the one that is exactly for them, and then people who've used them have huge shifts. Now, I've not worked with them personally. I have one that I've pulled out and have yet to really get into and work with. And they're just as powerful if you just hold them in your hand and you never open the bottle, you know, as opposed to if you put a drop in a glass of water and drink it and start experimenting with it. But and he's created one that had nothing to do with me, really, called Swirling Water. And he took it from a particular crop circle, but they found that it purifies water, and they use only one drop in their hot tub, and it keeps their hot tub clean for over 3 months with no chemicals.
Wow.
And he
that's
also,
great.
That's fascinating.
Yeah,
I can sell a lot of that in Florida.
Well, and he's had other people take it and experiment with it, and they have the same results. So, but I think what's going on with that one is it's a counterclockwise spin, and I know for myself from working with different spirals in the past that counterclockwise does bring up more magnetic energy from the earth, and so it would be an earth-based remedy that's cleansing the water. And it is an interesting thing, and they do use it in their streams. They have a stream by their house, and they work with it a lot. So they're really, really powerful. I mean, you could consider them on the line of a Bach flower remedy or a gem elixir or something like that, except, you know, just do it times a million because they're really potent. Yeah.
You know, Aunt Gail, I'd like for you to tell our listeners, first of all, let me just remind everyone that this is The Art of Living Well with Charlotte McGinnis and Lindsay Babish, and we are Radio to Inspire Enlightened Living. Our guest today is Aunt Gail Rose O'Grady, author of, okay, now I'm going to do my blank, A Time of Change. All right, there we go. Isn't that interesting that I just went like, oh, A Time of Change, Akashic Guidance for Spiritual Transformation. And Aunt Gail, tell our listeners where they can get your book and information, even on these crop circle elixirs, all of it.
Okay, well, they can get my book on Amazon, and really on Smashwords too for all the electronic formats, so that's easy. And you'll get a price if you go to Amazon than if you buy it from me. So we'll send people there. But the crop circle essences, you can go to granite-planet.net. And that is Brian and Pam's major website, their publisher, so you'll see all these books. But there'll be a link there that will say Cosmic Energy Essences. And if you just click on that, it'll take you to all the information about the crop circle.
And I think there's a link from your website, too, so direct people
there
to your website as well.
Yeah, there is. Thank you. My website is angailrose.com, and you would do the http://... angailrose, which is AINGEALROSE.com. And you'll see I have my wonderful husband's managing of my site, because without him, I'd be sunk.
Yes, and
so would I. So would I. Ahanu. The webmaster, Ahanu, yay. We missed having him today.
There's the partnership, isn't it? Male-female partnership. It's so beautiful.
Yes, well, he's a wonderful partner. And he's in Ireland right now. He left yesterday for his son's wedding, and I'm missing him like crazy right now.
Oh, I bet. Well, he's officiating, right?
He's a what?
Is he officiating his son's wedding?
No. But he did get asked by my daughter to officiate hers in September.
Oh, okay. I got confused. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, he was so excited. But
yeah. Well, Abigail, we're getting into our time here, and I was wondering, would you be willing to answer some questions, not personal, but maybe universal questions?
Sure.
Okay, so what's the process you'd like us to follow here?
You could just open the phones and give me just one little minute to myself, but you can go ahead and get people ready. So just a second.
Okay. So
then I'm
going
to go out and put a query out on the chat to see if anyone wants to post a question on the chat room too.
And if anyone wants a question, you need to, if you're already on the phone line, put your hand up. I already see one up. Cat Bray 53. So we'll get it. She got her hand up first. But push number one if you're interested in asking a question. And let us know when you're ready, Angel.
I'm ready. Go ahead.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Let's open up this mic. We'll go to Cat Bray 53. And good morning. Would you like to ask Angel a question for the Akashic Records, for a universal one, not personal, please?
Yeah. Actually, I've had several Akashic Records reading, and they've all been different. So I guess, what is your definition of a good reading?
91.9 FM. What is my definition
you,
of a
you
good
know, you've
reading?
Got radio going on in the background there. Is that something that you could filter out or turn down?
Oh, that's better.
Yeah.
So
repeat your question, please.
What was your question? Yeah.
I mean, I've had several readings, and they've all been different, and they some of them have never sounded right. So I guess my question is, what is a good reading?
All right. Well, that is a good question, and the thing about the records is that it still ultimately comes down to who's receiving the information and how well they're delivering it. So I hate to say that, but there are different classes of readers, and there are some that can tap in to really deep levels and deliver that information, and there's some that aren't so great at having that information come through. And that's the reason why you're probably receiving different information from different people. So, you know, you would really want to know if somebody's actually tapping into your records or if they're just doing a psychic reading, because you know, that could be different too. And there are people who really aren't tapping into the level of the records, even though they might have been taught. So that's the best answer I can get. Is a lot of it has to do with who's doing the reading and how well they're receiving and transferring the information.
Okay, I had a feeling you were going to say that, and that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Well, Kat, maybe you're psychic.
actually, I'm working on it.
Well, good. There you go. You know, I had a follow-up to Kat Bray's question on Gail, if you
yeah.
would. When I had one Akashic record reading, my reader, and it wasn't you, by the way, I'm sorry to say that, stressed the importance of my clarity on the questions. So for those out there who are thinking about getting a reading and perhaps going to your website and hiring you to do that, what is the importance? Is it do the questions and the clarity on the person's questions make a difference in the reading?
Well, yes, it makes a difference in any reading, really, okay, whether it's Akashic or any other. But you know, a good reader can help a person out with that. In other words, if you start expressing something and you're not really clear about what they're actually asking, you can just say, you know, is this what you mean? Or you can help them clarify the question. But it does make a difference in terms of the type of answer that you get, what your question is and what you're really wanting out of it. So, but I just think that's an easy thing to solve, Lindsay. I don't think that the client necessarily has to have all that figured out. I just think a good reader will get a feeling of what you're asking and then just reflect that back to you.
Oh, that's a good point. And I'm sorry, I had to turn off Kat Bray's microphone because of all the microphone noise in the background there. But Kat Bray, thank you so much for calling in, and good question, and good luck with your own seeking. I have another caller here. 561-683. I'm going to open up the microphone. Good morning. What is your first name, and do you have a question for Angel?
Hello?
Oh,
hi, Lindsay. This is Sandra.
Okay. What's your question?
Hey, Sandra. Hi. Listen, I have had a million phone calls and interruptions to this show, which I apologize, so I didn't hear everything. And so I'm wondering if I could ask, did you discuss the Pope?
There you go.
Oh, good question. No, I don't think we have not discussed that yet. Is that within bounds for the Universal Akashic Records, Angel?
Well, sure. What would you like to know about the Pope?
Well, no, the Pope resigning and the lightning striking,
yeah.
And I just wondered if there, I believe it's definitely an energetic that affects this planet, and I was just going to ask about that. Oh, well, we're supposed to be Universal, not Earth.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, I can tell you what I've been shown about the Catholic religion, and I think that we could put the Pope in that context because I have been shown that that's ultimately that it will all collapse. And you know, I think you're in the process of that. I think what you're seeing is a transition in the faith itself, and certainly it's being called on the carpet right now too, along with everything else that needs to be cleansed. Because as we all know, there's certain things that have gone on in the Vatican, in the Church, that are really not for the benefit of a lot of us. So I think you're going to be seeing. Through the years, not immediately, but a gradual waning of the power of the Vatican, and I think this is part of it, and it does need to be changed. It does need to be cleansed out. So I look at this as a positive thing down the road, and it's going to take some years, of course, because it's not just going to happen overnight, just like everything else. But you know, I know there's prophecies about the last Pope. You know, and certainly Benedict would be the last. But I don't think that it is going to be the last, but I do think we're watching the beginning of the end of the power structure in the Church.
Right, yeah. I hope that the transition is a good one. Yeah, I believe that it will be. as well.
All right,
yeah.
Good. Wow.
Yeah.
That's very good.
That's
question,
great.
Sandy.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in. I'm going to turn this mic off now, and I just want to say what I was thinking when you were talking is that I think there are probably a billion women rising today who would like to have one of the nuns on the bus become the Pope.
Well, actually, somebody asked me a question last night. Did I ever see a female Pope? At first we chuckled because right away, of course, the image of the High Priestess card in the tarot came to our minds, which is the female Pope. But we did see that, you know, the world will evolve to put more female leaders in place, and so it's a potential. But as we saw that, Source also reminded us that the real goal is not to really have, you know, one dominant sex in leadership over the other. The goal really was to have people, leaders who were balanced in their male and female.
Right.
You know, so that was the most important thing. But certainly the potential of the feminine to rise in more leadership roles is definitely coming.
All right, wonderful. Well, we got other callers on the line, but nobody with their hand up. So if you have a question, we've got about 10 minutes left here. So if you have a question, go ahead and raise your hand right now so that we will know to open your mic, please.
Yeah, and I'd like to ask a question. You know, we had a guest on a couple of weeks ago, and I asked him about disclosure with extraterrestrials, and you know, I'm pretty neutral on that. I'm not one who's like convinced. I am convinced, I think, that they exist. But as far as them embarking upon us and showing their spaceships, I don't know. So he had a thought about it. I don't want to share that right now because I want to see maybe what you get in that question.
Okay, well, I have been shown, you know, through doing the records over the years, that there were a bunch of benevolent ETs that really did not have permission to interfere with Earth for a long, long time, and there was a reason for that. But that's been lifted, and so there are more benevolent ETs interacting with us now. So what I've seen is you will see more sightings of ETs, but and you will see more, there'll be more movement with them throughout society as well. But I do believe that most of those ships are ours that we see. The government has had the technology to make those ships for many, many years now. And a lot of the sightings, you know, are really our own government doing its own stuff. So I think you need a bit of discernment when people are seeing things, and but I mean, as far as disclosure, Char, of a government coming out and saying, yeah, they're real, you'll probably see it from our government the last. You know, they're not interested in admitting that because, of course, that would bring up all sorts of questions for them. Everything from the abductions to the technology, but I can tell you all that we have much more advanced technology than they let us know. And I'm talking about the ability to travel interdimensionally. They've already done it. They know how to do it. And there's a lot going on with that we're just not being told. And they're not going to come out and admit it. I think what's going to happen is the people themselves are going to have more exposure to it. And, you know, but yes, they've been around forever. They've been interacting with us for a long time, mostly trading off with information and some not so nice ones. But you're going to see more. You'll see more of them interacting with humans in a positive way. So it's there. It always has been. A lot of us are old ETs, as a lot of us know, when we've come from other systems. But I just think you will see increased sightings over the years, but a lot of them are ours.
That's
great.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. So that's really interesting. Mm-hmm. So what I see then is like our government up there going, don't look at the man behind the curtain. He's not really there. It's kind of like a Wizard of Oz thing, you know, this ultimate distraction where they keep us distracted on the news by, you know, chasing guys in the woods and putting cabins on fire. And, you know, it's all like, it just feels like theatrics to me. So in terms of governmental power worldwide, what is the overall shift that's coming in terms of the fairness, if you will, or the humanity of governments in general?
That's a great question, Lindsay. And unfortunately, I wish I could say that they are working toward our best interests. But, you know, what it looks like is you still have the power elite wanting to stay in power, and it'll be one of the last falling ships, really. Because the change in government is going to come from within the people. And, you know, we have been warned in the records about becoming complacent. And, in fact, we even had a group where Source told us to take our world back. But it didn't mean it in violence and war. It wasn't talking about that. It was basically saying that we all have to make these changes. The changes we want to see, we have to be. And we have to work at it from within ourselves and within our communities, because it's not going to be the governments that are going to all of a sudden decide that, hey, we want peace throughout the planet, because really they're still interested in depopulation and maintaining their status. So I don't see that happening from heads of government. I think you'll see little bits of progress just to make us think that things are really changing, but it's actually the people who are really going to be doing it.
Well, in some cases, that scares me. Because some of the people I find a little bit scary. No judgment, but...
Well, that's why Sources says we have to keep... We have to be working at this.
Yeah.
Okay, that this isn't a given where, you know... excuse me. The wonderful thing about this time is that we've been given the energetic platform for this change to happen. In the sense that, you know, we've been shed down all sorts of higher light and frequency to, you know, the blessing beneath our wings, if you will, you know? But we're the ones that have to fly with it. But certainly it'll make it easier for us, because we're still in a battle of light and dark. And it's evidenced by, you just watch people and you talk to them and you see how they're feeling. And like I said, one day everything's fine. The next day they're anxious and they feel something coming. And so we still have these two things playing side by side.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The choices we make and what we do with whatever happens, it really will determine what we create. And certainly there are lots of people already who are creating and developing really new, really wonderful new changes. But I just think that the leaders, they're really not interested in a global cooperation. Not really.
Okay, so what a wonderful thing to end on, though, that basically it's be the change you want to see. So, I mean, we all kind of know this, don't we? We are really down on time here. We're down to 90 seconds on this show. So what I really want to tell people is that our guest today was Angale Rose O'Grady, author of A Time of Change, Akashic Guidance for Spiritual Transformation. If you're a seeker, if you have questions and are looking for really serious answers, you need to get this book. So go to angalerose.com, and that's A-I-N-G-E-A-L, Rose, and... just go check it out, and thanks for listening today. Shar?
Well, it's been a wonderful show, and best of everything to you, Angale. I'm so happy for your success, and give your hubby a hug from us, and we miss you.
Yeah, we miss you too, and love you all. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Thank you so much
and,
for honoring us with
your
presence.
Happy Valentine's Day, too, to everybody.
Yeah, you too.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody, and namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Art of Living Well Radio Network, a subsidiary of Crowning Light Productions. For more information on all of our programs, go to our website, theartoflivingwell.tv. This is Gene Bogart saying thanks for listening to the Art of Living Well Radio Network. Radio to inspire enlightened living.